and welcome to the Work Like a Laker podcast. I'm Megan Rickson, and today my co-host is Brian Bosick. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Megan. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good deal. All right. So today we have a fun topic. We're going to be discussing personality assessments and how they can be used in your own personal career development. And we'll be focusing most specifically today on the Myers-Briggs type indicator, but then we'll definitely touch on some of the other assessments that are available after that. So Brian, I'm excited to have you here because you work on our career development team and you use these assessments with students all of the time. So can you just start by giving us a brief description of the Myers-Briggs assessment and how we use it in the Career Center?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Megan. I love talking about the Myers-Briggs just because it's a fun one that you could apply to so many parts of your life, right? Your career, your personal life, communication styles, group work. So it's a really great starter, I think, for our students in a lot of ways. The Myers-Briggs goes way back. It is based on the work of Carl Jung when he talked about psychological types. And he believed that the differences between people really aren't random. Right, that they are kind of these set preferences that we have. And it is a really interesting thing. Mm-hmm. And what happened is the Myers-Briggs was developed by Isabel Briggs Myers and her mother, Catherine Cook Briggs, in 1943. And they took this notion of psychological types and preferences and put it into this assessment. So the Myers-Briggs at its core is really based on like personality preferences. And it's set on a scale. So the idea isn't that you say come out to be an extrovert versus an introvert, that you are just locked into extroversion, right? So you might be really close to the middle. So you could use a little bit of traits of these and that. And it can be challenging. I think as you talk to people about when they take this test, they're like, well, I don't know. Like in one situation, I'm super talkative. When I'm at home with my friends, but when I go to work, I don't want to talk to anybody, right? So what do I choose? And it really boils down to, well, if you had your base preference, mm-hmm. like what is that thing that you would absolutely choose that you feel most comfortable with? So it's a really fun one, and it looks at just kind of four different areas, and it helps people to kind of figure out how their whole personality and preference comes together.
Nice. Awesome. Thanks. That's really helpful. So I know, as you mentioned, that these assessments are used in a variety of ways. And I know I've heard of some companies who are even using these assessments in their hiring practices. So asking applicants to take the Myers-Briggs at some point in the interview process.
Sure.
Do you think that helps to determine how good someone will be at any given job?
Ah, good question. And I think when you hear that, it can be a little scary. It's like, oh my gosh, is it testing my... And the quick answer is no. Really is not a measure of skills.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a whole different measure. We'll talk a little bit more about those a little later on. What they might be looking at is if they're looking at a team dynamic and how people kind of work together, that's where that Myers-Briggs might be measuring. So one of my favorite presentations with this is to go to classrooms where students are grouped in different teams. And they've got to work all semester on a problem. And we'll give them the Myers-Briggs to see like, oh, all right, how do you with, let's say, four very distinct personality types and styles work together to accomplish this goal. So that's more likely what you're going to see versus kind of a measurement of skill.
Sure. So not necessarily a right or wrong answer there that somebody feels super judged on.
Definitely not at all. Yep. And you would hate to like misrepresent that and then be miserable on a team because they think you're one way and you're so not.
Exactly. Okay. So I know enough to be dangerous with the Myers-Briggs. So there's four letters.
Yes,
can you tell us about the four letter codes and what that means and what you do with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's four different areas and they kind of look at your personality, again, your preferences and your temperament. And Megan, I think you brought up a great point that there is no right or wrong answer.
Okay.
Right. So you can be, if you come out extrovert and you want to be introvert, you didn't fail the test. Right? So what we'll do is we'll talk through the four areas. If it's okay, I'm going to kind of puff those questions back to you. So you have a chance to kind of answer as an example how this might work.
Excellent.
And then we'll go from
self-reflection.
There.
Perfect.
That's exactly it.
And we'll have this. That.
We do. And we'll have it recorded so you can't change your type in the future. All right.
I'll have to steal the audio files later, I guess.
Deal. So we've got four different styles, or four different types. And what we're looking at, that first area is that extrovert versus introvert. And the basis for that one really is, where do you get your energy? Mm-hmm. I think when people first hear this one, they're so often thinking about how talkative is somebody versus mm-hmm. how quiet are they. And that's a part of it. But ideally, we are just going to look at where kind of do you recharge? So, you know, for yourself, if you think about like a really exhausting, busy day, and you come home from work, and how do you recharge? Like, what are the things you do to kind of find energy?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I feel like if I've had a busy day, even if I know I have plans later in the day, I like make time to come home for just a little bit, because okay. I feel like that is kind of my recharge place. Now, home for me is a little bit more rambunctious than it used to be, because I have two little kids. So, you know, you kind of are forced to, not forced, I love my children, but, you know, you're around people more. But yeah, in an ideal situation, I would have like, even if it's just a half an hour to just kind mm-hmm. of decompress and watch TV or read a book or have a snack or whatever. But, and I find myself needing that more and more as I've gotten older as well. I feel like in college, I probably just would have been like, hey, roommates, well, you know, when I got home, like ready to hang out and got my energy from that. But yeah, I think I'm definitely leaning toward the introversion side these days.
Okay. That's a great answer. And I think that makes a lot of sense in the way you kind of phrase that. Yeah, when you look at kind of energy, kind of gauging energy, right? So introverts tend to get their energy from downtime, and they can be very social, but when they need to recharge, they're going to step back and kind of like take that downtime. So that's an excellent example. You know, on the flip side, extrovert may come home, and the minute they see like kids, family, like, hey, and then they're picking up the phone to call somebody, and then they're off to go yeah. grab food with people, right? So that's kind of that energy gathering the other way. So awesome. Excellent. Our second category is sensing versus intuition. And that one is, it's always a little harder to describe.
It sounds hard, just the words saying them, like they could almost feel like the same thing to me.
They really, yes, right? You can yeah. totally see that.
Yeah.
It's funny. And it's the same thing when you see it, you kind of know it, mm-hmm. but it's a hard one to describe. This one talks all about how do you take in information from okay. the world and kind of what's your preferred way to process that. So if we break it down, like sensors, they tend to take in information in detail and reason and logic. They really are good with like names, numbers, facts, and figures. They're excellent at taking a big problem and breaking it into those smaller parts. So here's what we can do here if we're stuck. Here's how we break this down. Mm-hmm. And they really do very well with kind of logic and reasoning. Mm-hmm. Whereas if someone's more intuitive, they focus more on ideas and abstract ideas. So mm-hmm. they take in the world and bigger picture ideas, and they may struggle about breaking something down, but they're really good at generating an idea for stuff. Well, we can try this, we can try this, we can try this. And then if you ask them, well, how are you going to do that? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Right? They haven't really thought that far mm-hmm. ahead. So that's why teams work really well together.
Yeah, that makes
so that's
a
kind
lot
of
sense.
Your yeah. sensing and intuitive.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so out of those, I think I'm definitely an S.
Okay.
I'm a to-do list maker. If I have a big thing ahead of me, yeah, I'm going to break it into those smaller chunks and figure it out and ask the people I need to for help. And yeah, I definitely approach work in that way, I guess. Yes. It's hard for me to kind of think of examples in personal life, but yeah, at least from the work side, definitely an S, I would say.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. Excellent. Well, you're two of them down, Megan, so far. Woo-hoo! So I got two to go. Well done. So our third one is thinking and feeling. And this is the one that looks at like our decision making. So how do we kind of process information and then make decisions? And one of my favorite questions asked for this one is to present a scenario and kind of see what you think.
Okay.
So we've got this situation that you get a call from one of your good friends, and they say, hey, somebody just broke into my house. What are some of the first things that you think you do?
Interesting. So I get the call. I'm not with the person.
You got it. You get the call.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think I'm first going to be like, where are you? Where did you go? What is happening? Are you safe? How are you feeling? Yeah. Like, are you still in a situation where you're in harm's way, or are you okay? And how do we get you to a place where you're okay?
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Good answer.
All right.
It's interesting. I think you answered from both sides of it, which is pretty good. Because I think, yes, you did. You know, with decision making for all of us, we'd all use aspects of both of this mm-hmm. one. And it's just going to depend where we tend to fall more often than not, depending mm-hmm. on guess. But you really hit both. So thinkers might approach that situation kind of with logic. Mm-hmm. So a thinker is going to be, where are you? What was taken? What's the situation? Have you called the police? Do you have insurance? Kind of like taking it step by step. A feeler is going to approach it from more of that intuitive kind of like emotion-based response. Are you okay? Do you need me to come over? Can mm-hmm. I get you to safety? Mm-hmm. So I think your response really did a nice job of blending both parts of those.
There we go. And yes. I think that's why I've struggled in the past with the MBTI, because I do find myself like seeing both sides and feeling like I could potentially fit there, which I'm sure is fairly common that people are kind of have trouble picking one side or the other.
They do. And there are certain categories, this being one of them, that often folks find themselves so close to the middle, right? And they never use just one style, that they're going to use a little bit of both to figure it out.
Cool. Yeah. Nice.
Okay. So our last one is judging versus perceiving. And this is interesting. Everyone's like, I don't want to be judgmental. And
right?
It's
that
definitely
sounds bad.
Not talking.
That
it
sounds like
really
the bad one. Like, you should choose the other one. Yeah.
Yes. But it doesn't mean that. It's kind of like how you judge time. Right. So it's like your blocks of time. And judging versus perceiving really looks at like, how do you like to organize your life? How do you organize the outer world? Mm-hmm. So for this example, I'm wondering if you could take a moment mm-hmm. and just think about a recent vacation or a trip that you had mm-hmm. and how planned out was it?
Mm-hmm. Pretty planned out.
Okay.
Yeah, I like to know what's gonna be happening. Like, I can allow for chunks of time where I don't know where things are happening, but I like to like, I always look up restaurants in advance and like read reviews of the restaurants so that I know we're not stepping into something disgusting, right? The hotel, like, like, it would be my nightmare to go on vacation and like not know where we're staying at night. I research the heck out of the Airbnb or wherever we're staying. And I actually find that's pretty fun. Like, I think I could be a travel agent. Like, I enjoy that kind of stuff. So I'm probably giving you enough there. I feel like I definitely land on one side.
Yes. What side do you think you land on?
The J.
Oh, that is correct.
The bad one.
I think that's great. Not the bad one. No, I think that says it very well. It's interesting because J's do tend to like having a little more structure and mm-hmm. it helps to organize, and whereas perceivers like to kind of go with the flow. And that's a really great example of a J. I think about a student I talked to once in class on spring break. And so what are you going to do? And like, well, we're going to drive to Florida. How long are you staying? I think a week. Okay. Where are you going? I don't know. We're going to drive down and we'll see what's open. We might crash with some people. And for anybody who likes structure, that is just like the anxiety pumps up.
Totally. Yep. That's not me.
Excellent.
That one feels more clear.
Well, very good. So based on your answers, where do you think you kind of fall with the four
different products? So, and I think I did a good job of trying to think about myself before this. And then when you were doing it, I confirmed ISFJ.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. That sounds great. Mm-hmm. That sounds excellent. And that's one of our 16 types. So if you look at the Myers-Briggs, there are 16 total types. So that gives you one of them. And you may find too that with the information that's out there that you, let's say that that TNF, if it's really close to the mm-hmm. middle, mm-hmm. that you could read some information about like the ISTJ and see where the crossover comes.
Okay. Nice. So that was a pretty informal way, right, of figuring out my type. What would you suggest for if I wanted to go a little more in depth and kind of double check with where I'm at?
Absolutely. There's a couple ways you can do that. Mm-hmm. So at the Career Center, we've got a more in-depth version of the Myers-Briggs. Okay. So this was just me talking it through. So we can offer that one to students and they could take that. There's also a lot of free versions online. You mm-hmm. can type in Myers-Briggs, and it's one of those that is out there that you can find some versions of it. So if you want to just jump on the internet, like, they've got a ton of fun ones where you could look at, hey, what's my Star Wars character? What's my Harry Potter Myers-Briggs? Right? So they could do that too. One of the websites I love is mm-hmm. Truity.com. So it's
Truity.
So Truity.com.
Cool. Okay.
And if you go to there, there's a sample test you can take. Plus, they have information about every different 16 of the Myers-Briggs types.
Nice.
And it breaks it down on jobs, personal life, general information, types that you work really well with. So it's a wealth of information for students to dive into.
Awesome. That sounds like a good one. We'll throw that one in the show notes.
That's absolutely. Oh, thank you. That'd be great.
Yeah, totally. So kind of once I figure out what I am, how would I use that information to aid in my career exploration if, say, I'm a student?
Absolutely. You know, this goes a little bit to one of our earlier points where we talked about, does the Myers-Briggs look at skills? Mm-hmm. And it looks a little more at personality. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that certain personalities aren't drawn towards certain occupations. Mm-hmm. Right. So you could take a look at a lot of, let's say, therapists and teachers, and maybe you see a lot of folks that have feeling versus thinking, right? And things like that. But there isn't always one specific type for one specific situation. But often students will use that as a way to start thinking about, okay, does this job description, does this major fit really well with who I am? Mm-hmm. Or if they're looking at, say, a work environment, which one's really going to kind of play out my personality the best? Mm-hmm. So let's say I am INFP or INFJ. You pull up that research, it typically says, hey, these are your teachers, your social workers, your psychologists, mm-hmm. but your passion is in engineering, right? So then maybe you take that interest and you go work for a place where you can use that INFP, INFJ energy as maybe a consultant and working with other companies versus more just the detail piece.
Cool. So you can really, it doesn't have to be like, here are these very like narrow things you can do with your life. You can still pay attention to like your own intuition, your kind of gut feeling of what you feel like you should be doing as well.
That's exactly okay. Right. And you want to look at those that like let you kind of like be yourself and use the strengths that you have.
Sure.
And it's so interesting. A job title from one company to a job title mm-hmm. of a different company can have such a different feel.
Okay, awesome. So that gives us a really good sense, I think, of the MBTI. But there's so many other assessments, right? Can you talk about some of the other assessments you might use when you're working with students in the Career Center?
Absolutely. So like I said, the MBTI is one of the things that we look at. We can look at personality. But when you really are kind of taking a deep dive into what's a good fit for somebody, you want to look at skills and you want to look at values and you want to look at all of those different things and how they come together. Mm-hmm. The strong interest inventory is one that we use quite a bit, and that really is a skills inventory. So students will take that, and that will ask them, hey, if you were to do this type of activity, how much would you like to do this? Or if you worked in this setting, how much would you like to do this? And from those answers, they match their answers to people in different job fields mm-hmm. to see what the fit would be.
Cool.
So they take it, and let's say a pharmacist took it, and they notice like a 90% crossover. So, hey, maybe you should really be in pharmacy because your interest and skills totally match up with this. Mm-hmm. So as you start to like build the pieces, you get like the Myers-Briggs with personality, you get a little bit of skills. We use Clifton Strengths, which is going to look at a person's top five strengths. Mm-hmm. And I almost like to look at those as values, right? Like what are the things that you really value? What are the strengths that you use? And when you start looking at majors and jobs, you can kind of start to see like, oh, hey, which of these really like play out best in this occupation? And which one, let's say one of your strengths is input because you like to take in information. Mm-hmm. Which job really allows you to do that, to do research? And is this a strength you want to use at work or is it something you do on your own? So by having all that information, you can really start to narrow down what might be a really good fit for a person as a full individual versus just one aspect of who they are.
Okay, nice. Yeah, that's helpful. So sometimes you'll do all of them with a student. Yeah. Sometimes you might just pick one that makes the most sense. Okay.
Yeah, I think depending on where they're at and how much they know about themselves and how far they want to go, one of the things we often recommend even before they meet with us is they could go onto our website under the self-exploration or the career exploration area, mm-hmm. and we have Pathway U, which is an online kind of personality assessment of personality skills, strengths, values, and it's a briefer version than what we might do kind of individually with the student.
Sure.
But it's a great starter.
Yeah.
It will link their results to majors, to jobs, to job listings, so they can kind of see what's out there in the world of work and if I want to research a title. So
great. That
is a wonderful, it's wonderful, it's quick, it's a great start even before mm-hmm. they come see us.
Okay, perfect. That sounds great. Well, I think we covered a lot here in not too long of a time. And hopefully all our listeners were given a pretty good sense of how these personality assessments really can play into some career planning and development. So thank you Brian, I appreciate your time. It's been really fun having you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and just like we always do, as I mentioned, we'll be sure to provide links in the show notes to any of the resources we mentioned, like the MBTI, like PathwayU that Brian was just mentioning, so you can continue the learning and the journey there. All right, thanks everyone.
Thanks, Megan.